Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 16th on the West Coast, now April the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We would like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. I know on Friday nights, our good friends in Russia like to listen to the show. There is a particular engineering school that takes a special interest in our regular Friday night guest. And so we want to welcome all of you, whether you're listening live or maybe in the classroom. Also, we want to welcome those listening in on blogtalkradio.com. Last night, I did a show with Drew Malone Raines, the third, former U.S. Marine, and we were talking about the amount of deception that we're exposed to throughout our lives. Certainly, we are deceived about the true nature of history and war. We're deceived about the banking system. We're deceived about the medical community, issues of health, whether we're talking about physiological health or psychological health. And We're educated into a system of lies that suppresses scientific invention and the expansion of spirit. And I wanted to talk about the more positive side, we'll say. We will be discussing some of these methods that are used, but in relationship to who we really are and how we make a higher connection with the center of the universe, to the creation itself, to the creator. And I had decided tonight, just a few minutes before the show, actually, to discuss that. And I got an email from Dr. Christopher Holmes, who also has a very popular show on BBSRadio.com. And his show was called Zero Point. And he is a very prolific, we could say, forensic psychologist, if you want to call it that. He deals with people who have severe emotional problems, and he does quite a bit to put them on the correct path to healing and dealing and coping with life. You wonder why we have to go through the things that we have to go through. It doesn't seem like life is what it's cranked up to be, what they promise, a hard-fought battle will accomplish, whether it's overcoming the difficulties of mastering a particular skill, what we call a vocation or an occupation, what we devote our lives to. Many people are performing jobs that they don't enjoy, that they detest, in fact, and they say they're doing it out of necessity. Whether that's true or not depends upon, I guess, their location and the certain circumstances with which they've had to live. If you're oppressed politically, you're not going to have freedom often to do what you would choose to do. If you're repressed in any way religiously, you're not going to have much or see much hope for mankind. And if you're repressed educationally in terms of the information you're given, if you're told lies your whole life and you're dealing with illusions, you're living in a false reality. You're not really who you think you are, and certainly not who you are and who you came here to be. And so we're going to talk about that aspect of how it applies to life in general, and in particular, how we get inspired. Tonight's guest is our regular Friday night guest. He is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher. My co-host on Fridays, and our resident science advisor, my good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. Thank you very much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, you know, and you know me, often I'll decide at the last moment what I feel Spirit is telling me to talk about, and I got an email from Dr. Holmes, which absolutely put an exclamation point on my thoughts and my choice that I made for tonight. So if that's not a sign, I don't know what is. I think this is the topic you and I chose is actually what we should be talking about.
Well, that's always good. I enjoy being in resonance with the universe.
And I want to stress that it's not for me or for you so much as it is for our listeners, that we can open their spiritual sight a little bit and maybe even help them make that higher connection. What do you say?
I say let's give it a try. That's something that I do quite frequently. So sharing it with other people is a real natural thing for me.
Okay.
I just hope that I can put it in the right words.
Yeah. Well, maybe it would suffice for me to begin with just looking at what seems to be going on around the world. Well, and you can often tell by the kind of email you get from people. They either respond to the things that we talk about on the show or maybe something they've read in my research or in your research. We get quite a few people interested in communicating with you. And I know how busy you are, and they know that too, and that if you're able to scrounge up the extra time that you will seriously consider, you know, writing back to certain people. There are people that are after the truth, and there are a lot of people who couldn't care less. There's sort of like something to do for them to pass the time to gravitate from one show to another until they hear a message that sort of sits well with them. I was talking to someone, actually this happens to me every day, but I was talking to someone earlier this evening that was having a few problems, and we were discussing this whole aspect of sharing with other people what you know. And it doesn't matter what it is, if you want to talk about conspiracies or, and maybe not even use that word, but just talk about something that you know is being done, and you wonder why nothing's being done about it, because everybody seems to know that these things are being done, such as the commission of white-collar crimes, okay? And as soon as you bring up the topic, someone else will interject, oh, are you talking about conspiracy theory stuff? Are you into that, too? You know, right away they take this attack mode, but it's really intended to be a defense, you see. They're defending their own fear or their own denial by attacking the other person. That's the only logical conclusion I can come to, is that they're so programmed, so brainwashed, that they just instantly respond that way. No, I was talking about going out to see if we could get some Italian lemon ice. But you seem to think that the way I brought that out was a conspiracy theory. Yes, there are places that sell Italian lemon ice. And yes, it is made by Italians. They sort of conspired together to make that and sell it. You get my point. It really doesn't matter if you're talking about government corruption or Italian lemon ice. They want to charge you with, you know, espousing conspiracy theories. So there's a tremendous amount of fear. There's a tremendous disconnection with who the person really is and what they have been constructed to be through these systems that I described at the opening of the show. And I know that people are searching. They know something's wrong. Some part of them recognizes something's wrong. However, they don't really see how to go about liberating themselves from all those shackles that they're wearing. They may be invisible shackles, but nonetheless, they're shackled. They're tongue-tied, they've got earplugs on and blinders. And they're not feeling what's trying to come in through the heart. And that makes this email I got this evening even all the more synchronistic, because the title of Dr. Holmes' new book is The Heart Doctrine, Mystical Views of the Origin and Nature of Human Consciousness. That arrived just moments before we went on the air. And
if that's not a confirmation that I chose the right topic, I don't know what is. That's exactly the point I want to make, is that this reaching solutions for the world's problems or inspiration in our creativity, in our spirit of invention, comes from a higher place, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. Well, I think we need to clarify that. There are two types of inspirations, really.
Okay.
And I think that maybe people don't realize that there are two types, because they may just, if they're just tied into the one, then they're not necessarily aware of the second one. But as long as we're on the subject of invention, let me use that for a way of getting the idea across. Let's assume that you're concentrating on making, a new type of mousetrap. And the reason I picked that is because that's what everybody's always saying about, you know, inventing a new mousetrap. Well, if you were actually in the pursuit of that type of a goal, what would be the first thing you would do would probably be to study all the existing kinds of mousetraps. And then look for a weakness, or look for some way to improve it, or look for some way to make it less costly. And eventually, if you study hard enough, you'll come up with something. And you'll say, "Eureka, I found it." Well, that's kind of a deductive process, and it's also a form of reasoning, but it's a legitimate form of inventing.
Yes.
And I would say that most people probably are familiar with that to some degree, because it's a process that's used in our everyday lives for any number of different reasons. But the thing that you and I are talking about is several octaves higher than that. And what it entails is a situation where you petition the universe, literally. You say, "I need help with this or that, and I don't know a darn thing about it, but I really want to do it." And if you do that often enough, or if you do that properly, all of a sudden you will get information which has nothing whatsoever to do with anything you've done before. I mean, it might be related in the sense that if you're working in magnetics, it'll probably be in that field.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is, it will never have occurred to you. It's not something that, you know, you can deduce from the other facts that you know. It's something totally outside the box. And when that happens, the way it feels is exactly like that. It feels alien to you. You're grateful to receive it, but you know it came from somewhere else. I mean, you absolutely know that. So that's the other kind of inventing, or the other type of inspiration, which is undoubtedly from a higher source, from a different consciousness than your own. And learning how to plug into that and learning how to petition that response is a lifelong endeavor. It's not something you can sit down and try in one afternoon and then say, "Well, I've mastered that, now I'll move on to something else," you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lot more involved than that.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
Well, I could. I mean, I was going to let you finish. Let me interject something here. You know, you're causing me to dwell on, while I'm hearing you speak, there's a truth, fundamental truth, that's coming out that I see in religion. It's, you know, we have a lot of Christians that are waiting for someone to come and save them. Okay? And they're not going through the process of putting themselves on the list to be saved, if that's going to occur, if you know what I mean. Are they talking to the Creator? Are they engaged in a dialogue with anyone that might come and save them? Or are they just sitting around saying, "Well, we know that, the Bible says that Jesus is coming and he's going to reign here for 1,000 years and therefore we'll be saved, so just sit back and wait for him to come"? Is that why you're here, waiting for someone else to come? And so we miss the opportunity to take responsibility for ourselves. That's in essence what people are doing when they're denying things that are occurring around them, or when they're seeing them from the basis of being on the other side of the veil. They're seeing an illusion being performed, and they're not seeing the whole trick. They're seeing the beginning of the trick, and they're seeing the end of the trick, and they're not seeing actually how the trick is being played. Even though it's been explained to them numerous times, it's been dissected, analyzed, exposed for what it is, and it's as though those that engage in corruption are relying on the fact that people are just going to sit back and wait for something else to happen. Let someone else save them instead of saving themselves. You know, let someone else come up with the invention. Even though it would be nice if I could come up with that idea, I could become rich like the other people that invented these things, but let someone else do it. I don't have the time. I can't be bothered with the time. Or there are those that are striving to do it, but they're thinking, all they're thinking is going on in their head. You know, they're reflecting the result of all this programming that's been done to them gradually throughout their life. And so I know you want to touch upon the process of how that how we can extricate ourselves from that. So yes, I did want to say something. I guess I did say it. I don't know if it made any sense, but
no, it made sense. As a matter of fact, it gave me an idea about something. The feeling that goes along with this process is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to verbalize simply because of the fact that there are words to kind of describe it, but it's one of those things where if it didn't happen to you yet, the words won't necessarily mean what I want them to mean, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
What it has to do with, actually, Don, is it's kind of a knowing. I think people get the idea that when you get a higher inspiration, you know, it's like being shown a blueprint. And you say, oh, wow, thanks, you know, thanks for that, and I'll just go build it now. It doesn't really work that way. It's a kind of a knowing which direction to go in, instinctively or whatever you want to call it. And then when you arrive at the proper conclusion or the related conclusion to whatever it is you're trying to achieve, then the second part of the thing is recognition. It's like, ah, that's what they're trying to tell me. It's really a struggle because it's like, in the beginning, it's nothing but a feeling. It's a knowing. It's like saying, I know there's something here. I can't tell you what the heck it is, but doggone it, it's here. And you keep on proceeding in that direction, which involves additional study, additional research, additional adding to your knowledge pool type activity. And then all of a sudden, you'll hit the right thing, and you'll say, there it is. That's what they've been trying to tell me, or that's what it's been trying to tell me, or God mm-hmm. is trying to tell me, whoever you believe is inspiring you. A really good example of this, it's not scientific in the normal way. When I was a kid, I used to spend a lot of time wandering in the wilderness. And frankly, if I had my druthers, I'd still be doing that. But the thing that happens, which is really interesting, and again, this has something to do with being outside of this man-made matrix. When you are in the wilds like that, something happens to you if you stay there long enough. Of course, you can't be afraid of where you are or what you're doing, because that just wipes it all out. But I'll give you a good example. I was in the Colorado Rockies back in 1963, I think it was, or 64. And I just you know, I went there deliberately with the family, but I wanted to go and explore this particular mountain range or this set of mountains on my own. And when you're in there and you're just completely detached from everything else, you just tune in to this other feeling, and it's like, oh, I know which way to go. I know what the best route is. And you just follow that feeling. And I don't know how to explain it, because there's no real word that gives you the true nature of what's happening. But for anybody that's done that, you can navigate without a compass, and you can find almost anything imaginable that you're looking for. Another example, which is even more clear, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but back in the mid-60s, when they tore down Pennsylvania Station in New York to replace it with that new version of the Madison Square Garden, which I think is hideous, by the way, they took all that beautiful stonework, the big columns and the buttresses and the window frames and the eagles and all the decorations and everything, and put them on flat cars and took them over to Jersey through the tunnel that comes under the Hudson River from Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally dumped them into the Meadowlands. So, in the Meadowlands, there are all these Roman columns and, capitals from columns and all these various pieces of huge stonework that are just wallowing in the muck. And Pardon?
For what reason?
Just to get rid of it.
Okay.
Makes sense. I don't know what else they would have done with it, but if it was me, I never would have torn the building down. But anyway, that's what they did with it. And I had heard about it, when I was quite a bit younger, but many years later, I decided one day that I was going to go find this stuff, and I brought my son with me. And I hadn't the vaguest idea where it was, but, the Meadowlands is huge. It's not exactly a small place.
Mm-hmm.
And this track that comes out of the tunnel from New York curves around and covers, oh my God, hundreds of acres before it gets to the next station, which would be in Newark. So it could have been dumped anywhere along there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just started following the tracks and just tuning in, and all of a sudden, I just knew which way to go, and I went in this one direction, and there was the remains of a ramp that had gone down from the main line off into this vast expanse of marsh, and it looked, upon closer examination, like tracks had been there and been removed, and there would be no other purpose for doing that. So I just followed that down, and at the very far end of that thing, we didn't find a whole bunch because it sank, but there were columns and eagles and all kinds of stuff just sitting there in the middle of the swamp. So I had no way of knowing where that was, and I didn't rely on anything else. There was no book to look it up in, and I was completely feeling, done by feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it's all about. It's the difference between the intellect, which is in the head, and the feelings, which are in the heart.
Yeah.
And, you know more about that than me. Actually, that's your field, but that's what I believe anyway.
But see, what you're describing, it does go beyond words, because we're not taught that. We're not taught how to do that. In fact, that's where our power lies. And I would like to follow up with another point here, not too long of a point. And it's using basic, simple logic. Where I grew up in an industrial town, they didn't talk about us going to college. It was as if they expected everyone to work for the steel mill when we grew up, or to work for Ford Motor Company, assembling cars. Maybe my job would have been to put screws in the dashboards. or someone else's job was to put the floor mats in. You know, they didn't speak about going to college. And there were, I don't know, maybe one third of my graduating class actually went on to college, but they never even talked about college. They never even talked about furthering education. Now, it's a big deal because they found lots of ways to make money off of the loans and athletics and all of that. It's been turned into big business, but still, they sell it by saying, you know, to get a good job, to get one of the best jobs, to get a high-paying job, to be respected, to be a success, you have to go to college. And if you want to be able to impart all this knowledge to younger people and qualify as a teacher, you have to go to college. They have all these rules for licensing and certification. And when we're done and everybody's gone to college, the world is all screwed up. Why don't they point that out, despite the fact that we sent how many millions of people through college over the years? The world is at its end right now. It's on the verge of destroying itself. So tell me, is it because some of those people went to work for the steel mills or Ford Motor Company, or maybe they're delivering pizzas? Is that what made the world get screwed up, or was it the mind control in the educational system? Was it the disempowerment of the spirit, or the disconnecting of the spirit to the source? And I tend to think it's the latter. It was the intentional. See, education is really programming or indoctrination into really nothing except illusions. So no wonder the world is screwed up, because eventually the truth has to show through the muck. Just like the parts that you found of those buildings, the pieces of the columns or whatever you saw. And those are the same people, by the way, that are promoting preserving the wetlands, with their garbage floating and sunken in the middle of it. You know, talk about hypocrisy. So I wanted to make that point, that the whole system, we don't really pay attention, but if it was all that, if it was what it's cranked up to be, why is the world so screwed up? So you want to comment on that, Jim?
Well, I think it has a, you know... First of all, I think what you really need to say, even though you're alluding to it, is the world is screwed up because it's designed to be screwed up.
Well, yes, I mean, of course.
The people who are capitalizing on all of this are relying on the fact that the average individual is in a daze and he's never going to see what's really going on because he's immersed in it. You know, it's like the old story, does a fish know he's underwater? It's that kind of a thing. But the real truth of the matter is the average individual probably has such a high degree of morality compared to the individuals who are running the world that they can't envision any other human being anyway, that's capable of the atrocities and the low-level thinking and the conniving, stealing, and murdering, and God knows what else that's going on a regular basis. And so their mind refuses to accept it. I mean, like, for instance, if you knew unequivocally, and I don't mean you personally, but I mean if we knew as a race unequivocally that every war in the past 2,000 years or so had been engineered deliberately for the benefit of some group of people, and you start thinking, well, who are the beneficiaries of this mess, and which people get the goodies and which people get the suffering? I mean, the people who make out on it are always the same group, follow the money trail. But the people who are wallowing in misery are the ones whose sons and fathers and uncles and brothers have their heads shot off, or their legs blown off, or cut to pieces, you know, depending on which era you want to talk about. It's the same old story over and over again. And I think most people can't grapple with the fact that it's deliberate because they don't want to. It's too horrible to think about for the average person. But I do believe there are people who delight in that. If not doing it personally, they certainly delight in the outcome, and I'm sure that they laugh about the stupidity of mankind as they arrange these things. And that's the part that's hard to break through, because you're dealing with something that's so outside the box with respect to the things that you hold near and dear, or that you feel certain morality about, that you just can't afford to go there for the sake of your own sanity.
Yes. Well, your message is reaching someone. We have a call. We have a caller in Canada, Dr. Christopher Holmes. Welcome to Evident Footprints.
Yeah. Thank you, Don.
How are you?
My ears were burning. I guess I heard you mention my name. I had emailed you before the show, and I wanted to get your address and that of Jim's, because I'd wanted to send you copies of my book, which I've published, called The Heart Doctrine, Mystical Views of the Origin and Nature of Human Consciousness. And I didn't mean for you to mention me on air, but so anyway, I called in.
You hit the topic that we were going to discuss, so I felt that was a sign. Obviously. So,
you guys often discuss topics like so related to my own work and different things you've been discussing in your conversation so tie into what I talk about and how totally we have been mind controlled, and it is beyond the most people to comprehend that this has been done intentionally. Like, people can't conceive of people being so devious. Like, I'm a clinical and forensic psychologist, and I worked in prison system for 12 years in Ontario, in the Ministry of Corrections. And very few people in prison are psychopaths. It's very, very rare, okay? And I had all that experience, and then I only woke up to what's happening in the world situation 3 years ago when my son, youngest son, showed me a movie, Loose Change, which woke me up to 9/11, and then you begin to realize that in the last 3 years I've spent on internet radio learning more and more the truth of what was going on in the world. And as a clinical psychologist working with criminal offenders, I could, like, the guys in prison are nothing. Like, they're just regular guys who have troubles in life and such. I could never have imagined the psychopathological nature of the elites who have taken control all throughout the world. They're psychopaths, perverts, and pedophiles. And they're the lowest. And as we learn more and more, they're not human. See, human people who are more centered in their hearts can't imagine anyone being so devious and perverted, and the cruelty of these people. Like, they're a lower degenerate type in terms of human evolution. And these people, through their deviousness, have in a way taken control of the world to bring in their, what I call their old world psychiatric disorder. Because now we realize, like Jim was saying, these people have been around thousands of years. You know, who could have imagined anything so devious? And they've completely brainwashed humankind, like through the media. The media, like, once you wake up and you look at the media, it's like a total joke.
It is.
It's like a soap opera.
Yes, it is. Jim, do you want to comment on what Dr. Holmes is saying?
Oh, I think he's right on with all this stuff. I mean, we're basically saying the same thing. He's just saying it from a much more clinical perspective, but it's the same message. And the irony of it is, we actually have the power to disconnect from all this garbage if we really wanted to. But I think that the people become dependent upon this programming to a certain extent. It's like a drug. You know, if they are away from it for too long, then they start thinking, gee, what should I do next? Or, you know, am I operating properly? You know, and they need to get a recharge. So they immerse themselves back in the system.
Yeah,
and,
government are the drug smugglers, and government are the drug.
That's
you know?
True.
And this is why you have people in the state of mind right now. They could care less about their spiritual being or well-being. Their concern is the government going to do this for me? They have to do this. I can only depend on the government. What kind of thinking is that? You know, certainly it's not from the heart. And I know, Christopher, you want to comment on that too.
These people lose their souls. I believe that. Like, I believe that these people are possessed. There's a higher dimensional physics to it, that these people are actually possessed through their hearts, and they lose their souls. And they're ruled by, like, a human being has seven possible levels of human evolution. And human beings mostly are stuck in the three lowest centers, the three chakras. And mm-hmm. the fourth chakra is the heart chakra. And these people have no hearts. They're psychopathic. They have no empathy or feeling for other people. In a way, they're degenerate types who are controlled by the first three chakras, which are related to the motives of money, sex, and power. And you look at the world situation, what is it all about? Money, sex, and power. And these people are degenerate type, who I actually believe they're controlled by alien or subterrestrial, like within the interior of the planet, that there's some lower forms that embody these soulless creatures.
Yes.
And those of us who in Christian teaching are called upright of heart, We need to wake up, and we need to take our world back and imprison these people for their crimes against humanity and take back our planet. We really do. This is insane. We've been taken over by a group of criminals, psychopaths, perverts, and pedophiles, and this has happened around the world. I mean, it is unbelievable. I mean, if anyone wakes up, it's like waking up to an insane asylum. It really is. I mean, these people, they spray everyone in North America with aluminum and barium and poisons from the air. They degenerate your food. They impoverish the people. How stupid are people? Like, when can we ever awake? And we've never been free of these people in known human history. They've conditioned us through birth. They've degenerated the medical system. They've degenerated the educational system. These people in our military and police, they're all treasonous. How can these military people send their soldiers off to wars based on lies like this? They're treasonous what they do. And you listen to a woman like Kay, someone who revealed all the perversion and such going on, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and all these people in the war industries. We've never as a human race been free of these people. And they've stolen all these inventions of zero-point energies and holistic health and so on. It's just incredible what they've done to this planet. And unless people wake up, we're done. And if we wake up, we can apply the anti-terrorist legislation around the world to seize the assets of the terrorists. And that's what we do. We take all the Rockefeller, Rothschild money back. We put all these people in FEMA camps, and we give them rehabilitation, and we free the human race. That's what has to happen on this planet, and it has to happen by 2012. Like, this is terrible what's going on around the world. That's what was revealed to me in the state of mystical awareness that I had. This is what's going to happen.
You know, Doctor, it's an interesting thing that you bring up, because we all recognize what needs to be done. The problem seems to be something that Wilhelm Reich pointed out back in the 50s, and that is that the reason why the emotional plague remains intact is because it's more painful to correct it than it is to bear it. And I think that's part of the problem. When people start to realize just how horrible the world really is, they crawl back into their shell and say, I'm not going to face that. I'm just going to continue along, and hopefully I'll be on the path of least resistance, and eventually I'll get through it. But that's exactly what the opposition relies upon.
That's why how people are cowards, and that's how people cower. And that's why those of us in the truth movement, we have to have courage. And you know what the word courage comes from? It's actually from the French for la cour, which means heart. So courage
yes.
actually means having a new heart. And you see that in the people on, like Don Nikoloff and all these warrior truth activists. You know, they have heart, like they have feeling, they care for humankind, they put their lives on the line to try to reveal the truth and get the truth. These people, you know, Don Nikoloff's not going to spray someone from the air with poisons to make money. Like, you know, we're trying to deal with people so psychotically disturbed. People can't conceive they're beings and entities like this, but they are. And they extend through hyperspace dimensions and possess people through their hearts. So those of us upright of heart, we have to kind of wake up and you know, we shows like this, and we need to have this worldwide awakening and imprison these people around the world, reduce all the debts of all the countries of the world to zero by the world 2012, and then have a new world. And we put these people in FEMA camps, And we give them all the things that they want. We can give them chips. We can feed them Monsanto's foods. We can spray them with chemtrails. Whatever. We can make them, they make them watch their own media clips. Wolf Blitzer can spend the rest of his life listening to his own lies on the media clips. All these people can. What they've done is so outrageous, the mass murders of millions of people. Millions of people. They've depleted uranium in Iraq that has a half-life of a billion years. They desecrate the earth. Are people insane in our planet? Christians? Where are the Christians? They don't say anything. They have no courage. There's no heart. As a person wakes up to what's happening in the world situation, you realize that this is absolutely insane. And those of us who have sanity still, we have to take back our world.
Yes, I agree. And well said. You know, you're basically encapsulating the general topics that we discuss on my show on a nightly basis. And, I have to commend your appraisal or your appraisal of the situation, because you're just summarizing everything so succinctly and certainly with a passion about it. This is you're not someone that is making baseless charges here. And certainly you know that my research is I conduct it so I can show other people what I see up front. Really, it would be much simpler just to say, this is what I see, and we move on. You know, but I have to explain all this, and with reason, of course, because the other folks that are paying attention to this aren't doing the research. But I've never asked, and Jim has never asked, and you've never asked anyone to believe what you're saying. You're speaking with authority. You're speaking from experience. And if you have trouble accepting what we say, do the research yourself. If your only purpose for listening to this show or shows like this is to criticize the message, then you should start your own show and see how you stand up to criticism, baseless criticism, by the way. You know,
the evidence is all there. It's all in history. It's all in their documents. I mean, we have
yes.
a group of psychopathic elites, Henry Kissinger and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all these scumbag bankers and Wall Street merchants who make billions of dollars off murdering people around the world. The CIA has been the world's leading terrorist organization for the last 50 years. They've murdered people in every country of the world. And the Mossad, it's all these degenerate people. And then they meet together, they have all their homosexual orgies, and they have sex slaves, and it's so totally disgusting what's become of our nations. And then, you know, you turn on the TV, and it's all like, as though everything is normal, and your government represents you, and it's so insane.
Yes, it is. Jim, were you trying to say something there?
Yeah, actually, I had a question for the good doctor. I was curious if there are, you know, two types of human beings, you might say, a normal degenerate group that tend to cluster together and wind up being the type you're describing, or are they also trained and programmed at a very young age to be this heartless and to think this way? I mean, how do you explain the fact that they're there at all?
Well, I think that's very, very true. They are so conditioned and brought into this from themselves. They themselves are victims. That was one of the most interesting things I found working in prisons. When I heard anyone's story, I could always understand why they had done what they had done, even though objectively they were the most terrible kinds of things. And I could always understand them and have empathy, and they knew in their hearts it was wrong. And so that's so true of these elites and what happens to them and how they're conditioned and they're emotionally, they have the emotional development of young infants, like 5 to 6 year old children, selfish little brats in a way. And this has so much been a product of their conditioning. So that's so true. Like I know myself, many people, if we could restore justice on the planet Earth, many people would want to hang these people or cut off their heads and all these things, which they deserve for their crimes against humankind, what they truly do. But I think this is so unwise. It just repeats the cycle of violence. And what really needs to be done, these people need to be put into FEMA camps and rehabilitated and deconditioned.
Okay.
And the more you murder these people, then they just haunt us and come back to continue their psychotic, delusional, megalomaniac plan.
I don't think they can be reconditioned. I could understand containing them, but I really don't think they can be reconditioned. I think that if you live a certain way for the majority of your life, your soul is dead, or whatever you want to call it. It's not coming back, not in this lifetime anyway. And so I don't think they can be reconditioned. I do like the idea of subjecting them to their own filth and their own annoyances. I think that's kind of a nice idea. But
Can you imagine Wolf Blitzer listening to Wolf Blitzer lies for the rest of his life, you know, or George Bush having to listen to eternity to himself? Well, all these people to be stuck together for intercourse among themselves. I mean, it's just what they deserve. See, that's what we have to do. And all the Monsanto's people, they can all have one place, and they can eat all the Monsanto's food. And the additives, the food additives, the aspartame people, they can all go into a place and they can drink all their aspartame. All these people. And all the inoculation, all the pharmaceutical mafia, they can all be in a place and they can get all the inoculations that they want to give other people. These people need to they've created the hell of their own design. We need to, retribution for them is to them to be subjected to what they want to impose on other people. And all these people who want to put chips in people, they can all be chipped in their FEMA center. I mean, we need the military and police to stand up to their task and to honor their oaths to their country and their fellow citizens. I mean, we need for this whole system to come apart from inside. We need for people who have sanity and have heart and who want to save their souls to rebel within the system. That's what has to happen. We need to take back this planet. We need to have a vision of what that entails. We'd wipe out the debts of all the nations immediately because these people seize the assets of the worldwide people, everybody. They've seized all the assets, the Catholic Church and all these Zionist idiot goofballs really have. So we take it back, we put them in camps, we free the world, we introduce zero-point energies, cars that run on water, holistic foods, get rid of all the pharmaceutical poisons that they've been putting in people. We can still heal this planet and restore justice on this planet. And those of us of heart around the world, and I wrote to you, Don, I said about the heart doctrine. The heart doctrine is the spiritual teaching that's in all of the world's religions. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, the secret doctrine, Tibetan Buddhism. The true nature of a human being has to do with the human heart. And there's a higher dimension of physics to the human heart. And those of us who have heart and want to attain our souls, this is the end times. We need to stand up and be counted.
Yes,
people do lose their souls. These people who, these elites, they go on to the moon and they're devoured carnivorously by the moon and these beings in the moon. People don't realize that there are dimensions of afterlife. And many people in this whole system, like they say, Satan has a hierarchy of servants. But many of these people get into it, and they don't really mean to be in what they're doing, and they are afraid. Many people can still be turned around and saved their souls. They still have a chance. And this has to happen. And we're in this critical end times.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If it doesn't happen, I truly believe that the Earth will take matters into its own hands, so to speak. I mean, the planet has destroyed other civilizations in the past and started the whole ball rolling again. And I've said it on many different shows, as Don is my witness, that if we don't make these corrections, the planet will eventually do it on her own, and the majority of mankind will be wiped out. And I can't tell you how it'll be done necessarily, but there's any number of ways that can be accomplished. And for the few survivors that'll be left, they'll have to start from scratch all over again. It's happened at least 5 times before, as you well know, Doctor.
Yes. I have a solution.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jim. I think there have been previous races. I believe there were earlier Atlanteans and Lemurians, and there are different rounds and cycles of life. I believe that also, and I believe that we also live in those times because I believe that we as souls reincarnate through history so that we're facing problems we've faced for hundreds and thousands of years.
Yes, I want to make a suggestion that we take the fast foods, the concessions at the professional sporting venues, the hospital food, and everything in the grocery stores and send them to the FEMA camps with those psychopaths and perverts that you described. We don't want them to starve. Let them eat their own food. And we'll make sure that all their drinks have aspartame.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good way to get rid of that so that we wouldn't pollute the landfills anymore. Any comment? Either one of you? I had to get that out.
I think we have to create a vision of what it would mean. I mean, I think we should have this project of zero debt, every national debt in the world by 2012, and every nation owns its own resources once again. And these people are put into camps of various kinds. And the police actually serve the people. The police actually capture the criminals. Imagine that if the CIA ever really caught any of the criminals. I mean, you spend billions of dollars. The CIA never catches anyone. Eh? All they do is ever cover everything up.
Yes.
It's just incredible. It's incredible. And no one at any level, like, where are people? My God, what's happened to us as a race is so unbelievable. People have held us back in every regard. There's so much abundance on the earth. Everybody could have had wealth, happiness, abundance, health care, everything. It's just incredible. These people, they are so limited in their, they think they're some grand thinkers, like for a new world. But it's like a new world psychiatric disorder, and it's so limited in every respect. These mm-hmm. people have no heart. There's something really alien here. And that's difficult to understand, all that, what that entails.
Don't you find it rather ironic that those that profess to be leading the world into prosperous times totally disregard the concept of universal abundance, the fact that it's natural to be abundant, and that it would certainly solve the world's problems if everyone was abundant? Why is that such a problem for them? You see, it's always 180 degrees opposite of what they say. If they say the sky is falling, the sky is not falling. If it's going to rain, it's going to be dry. If things are looking up, that they're looking in the opposite direction. And everything they say belies what we see. It's beyond me. I think we've touched upon the reasons why so many people are incapable of really seeing the reality of this. They bought into the illusions and the grandeur of people that earn their living through illusion. What is this fascination, this mystical fascination with actors? Is it because they're larger than life on a huge screen, 70-millimeter film? Is it that important? Bigger is better? Everything is bigger is better. And these are the most dysfunctional people on the planet.
Don't forget your sports stars too.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you're taking the words out of my mouth. We idolize these people. Well, you see, it's a diversion. We know what it is. It's all based on illusion.
Yeah.
What makes someone great? You know, even LeBron James, okay, as great as he is as a basketball player, what is so great about being able to throw a ball through a hoop? Really? I mean, that you can do.
I mean, it could have been fun. Like I'm a hockey fan, and I used to like hockey, and I grew up loving hockey, and I admire sports fans, and I admire these Hollywood stars and such. You know, it could have been all fun if this other terrible thing wasn't behind it all and manipulating it all. Like, for me, for instance, like, professional sports now mean nothing to me. Like, how can we be concerned with professional sports while I'm being sprayed by chemtrails, my son's being sent to Afghanistan in a criminal war because Canada's run by a Jewish mafia, a Zionist mafia, taking over Canada and the States, and we have all these Israel, like, these goofballs, these Zionist goofballs, Kabbalists and such. How all of these things could have been fun and could have been okay. They could have been, you know, the
mm-hmm.
stars and that. It's okay. But people, it could have been okay.
Well, it's like Jim said, we see this. Now, what are we going to do about it? You know, I certainly don't mean to say that because we're pointing these things out, we're sharing this information, we're showing people the truth about what's going on, that we're not doing our part. But
well, that's what we're trying to do. That's why you do your show. That's why I listen to your show all the time. You're on the cutting edge of trying to expose what's being done and cutting through it all. I mean, it's so important. I don't know myself any other alternative other than massive awakening and also trying to practice white magic, which is asking God's forgiveness and for God to bring down their karma upon themselves. See, in black magic, people try to attain to selfish individual motives.
Yes.
Like money, sex, or power. But in white magic, the aim is to ask God to bring their karma down upon themselves. And that's what we have to ask for.
In a sense, we are responsible. Say, for example, when you're working with prisoners and you're talking to them about you're asking them why they committed the crime, what they were feeling, what led to that. Was it something that they struggled with over a long period of time, or is it something that just happened suddenly? You probably have every color in a kaleidoscope for an answer from these people. But the one factor, the undercurrent factor with this whole thing, is that people have to take responsibility for having allowed this to occur. We can blame them, we can show what they've done, but we have to take responsibility for what will be done in the future, do we not?
Well, being able to be responsible means being able to respond, and people have been so conditioned through their lives that they're not properly awake. They're not properly awake in their hearts. They've been conditioned and have this false consciousness system conditioned into their mind. So in a way, everybody's a victim of this. Everybody's like a machine. They do as they've been conditioned to do. So people aren't responsible. They don't realize what they do when they do it because of how they've been conditioned. In a way, everybody's like a machine. And you only become responsible when you begin to wake up and become conscious. And then you become possibly responsible.
Yeah. Well, you have those.
See human beings as in a sleepwalking state.
Yeah.
They live in darkness. They all these worries and fears and negative emotions and petty concerns and preoccupations and all this conditioning. And in a way, people didn't have a chance. In a way, people never were exposed to real teachings about what they really are or about real human history or any area of science. These people have degenerated our culture for years and years, and everybody's kind of grown up in that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a vicious circle, isn't it? It's cyclical for sure. It's just like hamsters in an exercise cage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're actually using hamsters driving cars. What does that tell you? What is the subliminal message in that? That they would use a hamster driving a car with a family of hamsters strapped in with their seatbelts.
These people don't have love in their hearts. They don't love humankind. They don't love life. They don't love the planet. They don't love nature. They don't have love in their hearts. There's something deficit in their emotional nature. They have the emotional development of little children.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Yeah, I mean, you look at someone like Henry Kissinger. He's participated in the mass murder of 60 to 70 million people, 10 times what they claimed the Holocaust was. Okay, through life, like what? And then you learn about Henry Kissinger, what he's really like in his personal life. Like how, you see, we've allowed these psychopaths, perverts, and pedophiles to ascend into these positions of power while we were sleeping. You know, it's so much like the Bible. You know, while we were sleeping, they came and stole it all away. And, you know, the synagogue of Satan has attained ascendancy in the world.
Mm-hmm. They caused us to be disinterested in our fate. And basically, you know, we've given up all of our power to an unseen enemy. And now what's happening is we're revealing the enemy. And this makes the enemy squirm, doesn't it? It makes them very uncomfortable that the truth is getting out and that there are people waking up.
Around the world, millions, tens of millions, tens of millions.
I get a lot of remorse.
More and more people are going to turn inside.
We got to do this one at a time, gentlemen, because we're getting some feedback. Jim wanted to respond to what you said, Christopher. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was starting to say that I get a lot of reports from friends of mine all over the world, and it seems to me, unless I'm reading it wrong, that other countries are far more aware of what's going on in our own country than the Americans are. And that's a scary thought. I mean, how do you wake these people up when they're, you know, they're totally conditioned to believe everything that's in the newspapers and on the TV, and yet those types of mechanisms, those media expressions are owned by the very people who are subjecting you to all of this.
Well, you notice there's a phenomenon that occurs on the internet in the alternative media, and we bring the truth out, and then they infiltrate the truth movement and put their spin out there, trying to discredit those that bring out the truth. And then they suggest that if it's not heard on the mainstream media, it can't be true. You see, as if somehow the mainstream media is the only source of truth. Well, turn on your TV at 8 o'clock in the morning in any town and look at the idiocy. I mean, they're talking about sewing and where they buy their donuts and their bowling turkeys on Thanksgiving. You know, they're using turkeys for a bowling ball. What kind of sick minds would even conjure up something like that? But they do it every year. They do these things.
All the media is a distraction from what's really being done in the world. Like,
yeah.
How every day, I mean, America's over there murdering people now with drones. Like, how insane. What are you, as Americans, like, you murder people around the world by drones now to protect yourself? Like, how insane is it? All the media is just to lull people to sleep and distract them. I mean, these people in the media are criminal. We have to realize that. They're criminal. They're involved in the conspiracy to commit mass murder. They're accessories after the fact to mass murder and covering it up. These people are criminals. They need to pay. They all need to be, all the CNN people can be in their own little FEMA camp, and they can listen to themselves for the rest of their life and be stuck there together for intercourse among themselves. That's what they deserve. And the NBC and ABC, all these people who have intentionally deceived the American public and participated in eugenics programs of the world elites. They all get their Rockefeller buttons, and they get admission to a FEMA camp for the rest of their life. Until they come forth and speak the truth, and maybe then there might be forgiveness of them.
Yes, I can see the next generation of CNN news anchors. And now with the news, Wolf King and Larry Blitzer. Anyway, gentlemen, we're just about out of time. Christopher, it's so nice to hear from you. I will give you that information so we can get a copy of your book, and I'll be happy to post it on my website, directlightproductions.com, on the books page. I already know I'm going to love your book just by the title and by the things that you've said. And Can you give us a general synopsis as a closing statement, what is in the book and how people can get a copy of it?
For the past century, human beings have been convinced there is no spirit or soul nature to human beings, and that consciousness is produced by the brain and it's centered in the head. All the religions of the world teach that human beings have a spirit or soul. It's centered to the heart, and the awakening of the heart is how we know God, and then we attain the illumination through that process. And it explains the science of that. I, as I said to you in my book, I think the Heart Doctrine is the book the elites would not want humankind to know. It is the esoteric teachings, but someone from a white magic perspective instead of a black magic perspective. Thank you, the Don. Thank you, Jim. Sorry for being so bombastic. I get set off. I feel such moral something. I had, when I woke up to 9/11, I went into these elevated states of consciousness, and I just experienced these kind of extra, some dimensional things, and I just felt the wrath of God coming down upon humankind. I think, we need to save our world. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you for calling in. Your comments are not censored. We don't practice censorship on Evident Footprints, but we do practice censoryship. Okay, we want people to know and understand and feel what we're saying. So I'm already getting little messages from the listeners that they appreciate what you're doing. And so I thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Don. Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Jim, any closing comments? This was an interesting show tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very good show. I'm glad that Christopher decided to call in, because he had a lot to say, and you could tell he was very passionate about it. Please make sure you give him my address, because I'd love to read his book, Don.
Okay. You have to give me your address, so we'll do that. We'll handle that off the air.
Yeah, I'll email it to you, or I can give it, or I can call you, whatever you want.
Okay. You have any closing comment to make on the Pandora's box that we opened tonight, or reopened? Actually, we've been to this topic a number of times.
Well, it's very frustrating, really, because, you know, you really want to be able to help people get out of this trench that they're in. But the irony of the situation is that they're so entrenched that a lot of them can't understand what we're talking about. They say, what are you talking about? This trench is great, you know. And until the reasoning changes and it gets to the point where they say, gee, there might be a world outside this trench, then they got to have the intestinal fortitude to climb up and peek over the bank and see that it's a lot better up there than it is down in that hole that they like to be in. As Reich said, and I believe it firmly, the reason why this stuff persists is because people are just so used to it that it's painful for them to consider a life different from what they've subscribed to. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a better one to be had. And that's the part that people have to have the courage, as Christopher said, to make the change and to elevate themselves by their own bootstraps, because nobody's going to do it for you. And I don't care how programmed you are, you know, sooner or later, something will crack through that armoring and you'll start to see what's really going on. Maybe it takes something more drastic before it happens. But everybody has a point at which reality crowds in upon them. And I just hope that the general awakening occurs before the real horror starts.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Well, if Dr. Christopher Holmes' call tonight didn't sort of sound an alarm, here's a man that spent a major portion of his professional career diagnosing and working through the problems that many people had, and they were serious problems. They took life away from others or committed serious crimes. We have those at the top running the show that have done far worse and should be in those cells. They should be locked up behind bars. They should be deprived of the fruits of their ill-gotten gains. and their corruption and their perversions and their psychopathic tendencies and their destruction of the youth of humanity through their pedophilia and their ritual sacrifices and their lab rat experiments that they conduct in their underground bases and in their castles and in their mansions and in government buildings. They deserve, you know, Dr. Holmes was right. They deserve what they've put on mankind. Now it's time for payback. They need to taste their own medicine and their own foods, if they could really be called that, and their toxins. And they need to be, they need to see what an oil glut really is. They need to live in one in perpetuity and have a little demon holding a match right at the edge there, always threatening for through eternity to drop it and igniting that cesspool. That would be the most appropriate outcome for these corrupt beings. And who is behind the scene pulling the strings? That's a topic maybe for next week's show.
I was going to say, we didn't seem to get to that point, you know.
No, we didn't, but Dr. Holmes touched upon it. And certainly we'll be talking about it next week, I guarantee you. Because that is where ultimately where all this leads. If people have a hard time just imagining the corruption, they're going to have a hard time with that too. But there are people who are waking up, and time is speeding up, and the truth is coming out just as fast as they're trying to hide it. But they've been doing this all along, and their world is falling apart. They themselves know that their empire is going to be very short-lived. They know that. They just never admit it, but they do know it. Jim, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank Dr. Holmes, if he's still listening out there, for calling in. And I'm looking forward to reading his book. You can visit Dr. Holmes' website at www.zeropoint.com. And his show is heard on Saturdays at bbsradio.com. I encourage you to listen to it. I've been going through the two-day experience, meaning every 2 days, someone I've thought of contacts me, either by email or phone. And Dr. Holmes, I thought of him 2 days ago, thinking to myself, I should have him on the show. And here he is 2 days later calling in. This has been recurring. I'm no longer experiencing the numerical phenomenon of repeating numbers like 11:11 on a clock, or 1234, or 2345. I'm past that now. Now I'm experiencing this communication going on. So evidently we're opening up and we're thinking about each other on a higher level. This is occurring, and I'm noticing this with many people throughout the world, not just a couple of close friends. So. Jim, you and I have that experience often, certainly every Friday night we have it in front of the whole world. I want to thank you for your contribution to the show and wish you a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Don. I wish you the same, and I'll be in touch with you about next week.
Okay, and that may occur in 2 days, right? No, I'm just kidding. You have a great weekend. All right, folks, that about wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Jim Murray. Again, that was Dr. Christopher Holmes who called in, and be sure to visit his website. And we're going to be featuring his book, I'm sure, in some coming shows, probably in May. So with that, I want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying Evident Footprints. Also, blogtalkradio.com. On the sound tonight, Seth Hendrick. And I want to thank both Don and Doug Newsom at bbsradio.com for making Evident Footprints possible, and you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us next Monday when my special guests will be both Dr. H. Ruott and Dr. Mike Castle. In the meantime, I wish everyone a great weekend, and a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.